I'm Faith Middleton, and this show is about the richness of life. Thanks for listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. Find the books, people, recipes, restaurants, value wines, and easy cocktails we feature online anytime at WNPR.org. Click on Programs for the Faith Middleton Show. If you have ever wondered how actors learn their craft, you're about to find out. Acting lessons here on the show from Gordon Edelstein, artistic director of the celebrated Long Wharf Theater, where some of the world's leading actors have performed with Gordon's guidance. Now, that guidance is now yours because Gordon agreed to take a one-hour break from his rehearsal schedule to provide a taste of acting class. And our hope is that by the end of the show, we'll be better at understanding an awe-inspiring performance. Certainly not from me, but maybe how this works technically. How do great actors do it? I'm talking about Meryl Streep, Kate Blanchett, Emma Thompson, Tom Hanks, James Spader, Forrest Whitaker. What technique do actors use to become someone else yet remain themselves? And what about mind-blowing improvisation, that ability to come up with a line on the spot, no matter what subject comes your way? Robin Williams. Long Wharf is now in its 49th season. Gordon Edelstein, our coach, is directing The Underpants, opening later this month, a play adapted by comedian-musician Steve Martin. He has overseen many world premieres, including ones by Philip Glass, Athol Fugard, Arthur Miller, Donald Margulies, Paula Vogel. And what's interesting to me is that when he was in college, Gordon received a degree with honors in history and religious studies. Maybe this is a key to becoming an actor, a sense of the world around you, though that doesn't explain child actors, so I don't know. Let the lessons begin. Welcome back, Gordon.
Thank you so much, Faith.
So I'm putty in your hands. Where do we start?
Let me just answer.
Do I have some kind of inner positioning I'm supposed to keep in my head?
You're doing great. I will say one thing, though, in response to your very lovely and generous intro. The way you get to the secret technique of Meryl Streep and Kate Blanchett and Forrest Whitaker is being born with this innate talent.
See, I was going to ask you, is that true?
Because when you're dealing with a level of talent like Blanchett or Meryl Streep or Forrest Whitaker or, you know, several dozen other actors, that's a gift that I don't have, and presume you may have it. You may be the hidden great actress. But I spend my life working with actors, and mostly very gifted ones, almost exclusively very gifted ones. And I couldn't do it if my life depended on
it. Is it genius?
Well, in the case of someone like,
Meryl
Blanchett, it's a mystery to me, just like it's a mystery to me when you hear a great, when you hear András Schiff play the Bach partitas. Or when you see Anna Trebko sing, Traviata. It's a complete mystery to me. I'm in awe of it. In fact, what draws me into this business is my deep appreciation for artists doing things that I couldn't even begin to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of number one fan. That's where I begin.
Oh, that's a great thing to say. So,
but it's true.
So me too. I just think it's just a miracle. So where do we start?
Okay.
What do you want us to do? What do you want me to do?
Okay. So, there's so many ways in, and there are so many different schools of acting and theories of acting. I'll just sort of pick one, not because I think it's necessarily the right one, but because it's in some ways easiest in this situation, but also one that I believe in deeply, and I use it every day in rehearsal. I've just run here from rehearsal, and what we're going to be doing now is in some ways exactly what I did 45 minutes ago with a bunch of actors in the room, which is we're going to start with intention. Okay, so everything in life begins with intention. The question is, what do you want? Sometimes we know what we want. Sometimes we don't know what we want. When we're hungry, we know what we want. We want to eat. When we are tired, we know we want to go to sleep. But life's often more complicated than those basic human impulses. So the foundation of acting, I would say, is intention is. So we can.
So let's say pretend I had a script.
Let's.
And if I'm not coming across in some way you want, you're starting to ask me, what's my intention?
Right. So let's say your line is a line from Star Wars. Let's say you're playing Darth Vader and I'm playing Luke. This is not a play. It's a movie, but it'll work. Okay.
Okay.
So let me say, let's say that your line is James Earl Jones's Darth Vader's famous line, Luke, I am your father.
Oh, that's actually hard. That sounds so simple, but that's kind of hard.
Okay. So there's 100 different ways that you can read that line, or 100 different choices you could make as to what Darth Vader wants in that line. So why don't you try that line for me now, as if you are giving me the best news in the world. You're trying to you're revealing the happy secret.
Okay, Luke, I am your father.
Well, thank God! I always wanted you to be my father, Faith. That's great. Okay, so that's great. Okay, now.
Well, wait, how did that come across?
That came across. Well, I think that you could have how about try to imagine it being even more of a surprise? That is, you know I'm going to be gobsmacked by this. You know that it's going to blow my mind.
Oh, well, okay.
If you're bringing me the best present in the world, the best package, the best present.
But you're surprised?
I don't know this. You don't – what my reaction is going to be is not your business.
Luke, I am your father.
Okay, that was good. Now, in that one, you were good. You were a little bit explaining to me, though. You were kind of using that as a reason why you were doing something else. I want you to try one more time.
Yeah.
And just imagine. Sometimes we work with what's called as ifs. So
people, if you're in the car, you can do this, or in your kitchen. Go ahead.
Yes, you can.
Okay, so as if.
So it's as if, Faith, you were telling Lori, your producer, that you have $1 million for her. So she doesn't know that you have $1 million for her. But you're about – you've called her in here and you're about to tell her that she – why don't you use the substitution? Sometimes we work with substitutions. That is, you'll say what you're imagining and then you'll say the line from the text. Can you imagine that you're giving Lori $1 million right now?
Okay. I can see.
Okay. So say, Lori, I'm giving you $1 million.
Okay.
And mean it.
Lori, I am giving you $1 million.
That's fantastic. Superb. Now, that not necessarily with the same intonation, but with the same intention. Get in touch with that intention. Say, Luke, I am your father.
Luke, I am your father.
Well, that was very, very good. That was very, very, very good. It was much better. It was much better than before. It was very good.
Okay. So how would you take a stab at it? What would you do?
I'm terrible at it.
You can't be worse than this.
So you want to do that line? You want to do a different line?
Back to me again?
No, I can do it. You want me to do Luke, I am your father? Or
sure.
Do you want to do
what's your intention?
Okay, so let me change my intention. Why don't you give me one?
Okay. You're unhappy about the fact that you are Luke's father.
Which means I'm going to have to pay, like, you know, child support or something.
Yeah.
Okay. And you'll judge me. You'll tell me how I've done. Luke, I'm your father. How was that?
Yeah.
Not so good?
Well, no, actually, good. What you did is make me hear that line on many levels at once. So I heard the most of that you're Yeah, I think you did it, Gordon, because when I think back, I think you sounded disappointed. You know, disappointed.
Yes.
Okay. So that was a way of interpreting that simple direction I gave you.
That's right. So there's no – that's a good point. Thank you for that. You know, no human beings are going to express an emotion the same way. That's what makes us rich human beings. Now, the other part of this would be if you were playing Darth Vader and you'd think of the whole history of that character, how is Darth Vader going to feel about telling that piece of imparting that information?
My mind is racing with what was the story with Darth Vader?
I know exactly. Who can remember?
All we remember is that breathing thing he did.
Right.
James Earl Jones did that was so amazing.
And the truth is that because of the voice of that character, it was not the most emotionally expressive character. I pick it only in some ways just because it's hard, and also everybody knows it.
So this idea of create a backstory for him, for Darth Vader.
Right.
So let's say, I've never understood this. I was going to ask you about this. Here's what we're doing. This is Gordon Edelstein. He is artistic director of Long Wharf Theater, has worked with some of the most celebrated actors and other directors in the world. And so he is so gracious. He dashed out of rehearsal, came over here and said he'd spend this hour with us. We're going to give you a chance to phone in and get some advice from Gordon. He's giving us an acting lesson. Don't we wonder this when we watch TV, movies, theater? What in the, you know, how do they do this? Could I ever be that? You know, it's like wanting to be a baseball player, a football player, a basketball player, a golfer. You put yourself in the role and you think, oh, wouldn't it be amazing to do that? So we thought, Gordon, tell us how it's done. He's a director who works with actors. You don't traditionally come out of acting.
Well, some great directors do. I don't. I was never any good at acting. I was a lousy actor, and I gravitated towards the literature of drama and the directing of drama. But, you know, all kinds of fantastically successful and brilliant. Ron Howard, who's one of our most successful film directors, who's got this movie Rush, which I haven't seen, was an actor for years, for his childhood, almost his entire life. Forrest Whitaker, who you mentioned before, you know, he's
the
a
Butler,
director.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. So a lot of great directors come out of acting.
All right, Gordon, stay right where you are. We're going to get some more lessons from you. In just one second, we're going to take a quick break and then come right back. Find out what we talk about on the show online anytime at WNPR.org. Click on Programs to find the Faith Middleton Show. Gordon Edelstein is giving us some acting lessons, artistic director at Long Wharf Theater in New Haven, and he's directing The Underpants, adapted by Steve Martin, and starting performances October 16th. Through November, and you can go online to longwharf.org. Maybe we'll get to a little more of your season as we go on. So if you're just joining us, Gordon said to me to start with intention. He gave me that Darth Vader line, Luke, you are my father. I am your father. And so the idea was, what is my intention? And so we did it as if he's upset when he says that. We did it as if I asked you to do it, as if you were mad that you child support. And then we did it as if I was giving him the best gift I've ever given him. Is this one of the basic ways to go in acting, intention. What's your intention?
Yes. Just to clarify, maybe I wasn't clear before, what you just described were emotions. He's upset. He's sad. Oh. What an intention is, it's another word to say it, is what your objective is what you're trying – what you want from that person. So maybe I wasn't as clear as I should have been before. So it's not so much the emotion – It's what you want.
Oh.
It's what you want.
Oh.
So what does Darth Vader want from Luke? What does he want from him when he's saying that line? Or we can let's switch to a different play, which may be better.
Okay.
There's a famous line from Hamlet where Hamlet is telling his beloved Ophelia, "Get thee to a nunnery." Now, what does he want? Does he want her to go to a nunnery? Does he want her to go to bed with him? Does he want her? What is he? So for as many Hamlets as we've seen, there are as many different intentions on that line. Does he want her to be his ally? Does he want to say, "I know you're my enemy"?
Wow. So if we're in a play together and I'm your actor and I'm doing that line and you're directing, am I working that out with you, what my intention is? Do we have to agree?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
And we have to decide what story we're telling, because with every text, there could be a different story. I used this example to you before when we were talking offline, which is that I could send you an email which sent, "Faith, I want you to meet me at 3:30 in my office." Now, depending on that could mean I want to fire you from your job. It could mean I want to give you a promotion from your job. It could mean I want to ask you out on a date. It could mean so many things. And this is the problems with, like, simple things like emails.
This is the problem with emails.
This is the problem with emails. So, but you can take a simple sentence and it can mean so many different things. And the director and the actor have to decide, in this case of this production, what it means.
So I once went to a Shakespeare play. And it opened in a modern office. It was one of these.
Uh-huh.
It opened in a modern office, a guy at a desk in a business suit. And you saw him, his back was to the audience. You saw him in his desk chair at the desk. And as the actor and another actor in the play comes on stage, he puts his finger on the intercom button and says, "Aeschylus." And the whole place, in a fraction of a second, was hysterical. I mean, we were just, it was so outrageous and so interesting,
mm-hmm.
as a way to go. So I clearly set in, I don't know, this maybe the 60s in New York in a downtown business office.
Right.
So I see what you're saying. I'm trying to convey, I see what you're saying. You can start, so I don't know what his intention was, maybe for the laugh.
I don't know. I don't. Was it? Aeschylus existed in a lot of his different plays. I don't remember which play it
no.
was.
No.
Yeah. But and also sometimes you have undesired consequences. An actor can be doing one. You know, you never know how an audience is going to respond. But since what we're dealing with is what are the fundamentals of acting, you know, an actor has to answer the question from every moment, what do I want? What am I doing?
So
what do I want?
Here's what's confusing to me as you give me my acting lesson and us, our acting lesson. That almost sounds manipulative to me. Not almost. It does. It sounds like I'm thinking about what I can get from you.
That's right.
And if I'm in conversation with you and it's not acting – I'm just being myself with you. I'm not thinking, what can I get from you?
You're not consciously thinking, but right now we are on this radio show together. You do want something from me. What do you want from me?
I do. I want you to be – want you to be interesting.
You want me to be interesting?
And you're doing a bang-up job.
Thank you very much. But you want me to be interesting? You want me to be a good guest? You want me – yeah, right, exactly.
But I also want to know what you know. I want
well, that's something
understand.
Else.
I want to learn how to judge – I want a lot of things.
That's
from you.
Right. Right. That's well, so you have to choose one
okay.
as a primary.
Do I?
Yeah. Well, consciously, this gets into sort of heavy territory, but consciously, you're not thinking about what you want. We're just in conversation. But actually, if you were to step back, like we do in life sometimes, we go back and go, what was I doing there? What did I really want? Sometimes you find that you really were behaving in such a way that you weren't aware of, that you wanted something that
okay.
you know?
Yeah. In my chair, what I'm really interested in is connecting with you.
Right.
That's what I do. I sit here, you're there, and I'm here going, tell me about you.
Well, that's your
I'm
tactic.
I'm interested in you. Yes. No, it's not my tactic. It's the truth. I am actually, Gordon, interested in you. Well, this is authentic. I couldn't wait for you to get here. So this is what I try to do. I'm not trying to do a performance on the air. I'm just trying to be the most myself I can be, and it's a gift I give in life. It's to say, tell me about you.
And that—and I believe you, and I feel it when you say it, and I believe so that you get an A. That was, you were being real. You were being completely real with me there, and I believe you. Is that true for is every guest that comes in? So you and I know each other. I've been in this show many times before, and we have a connection. We have a friendship, even though we don't see each other outside of this room. We have a good conversation that's been ongoing for a decade. But without, we don't have to psychoanalyze you or take apart the situation. Yeah, but in most encounters, somebody wants something from. There's an exchange. I give something, I get something. And even if, let's say, we think that's not true, let's just say that one disagrees with me.
Uh-huh.
When you break apart acting, the actor has to make a decision what he or she wants in every given moment. You have to make that. Otherwise, you're lost. Now, otherwise, you're kind of lost. What are you doing? What are you doing on the stage? If you don't know sometimes when we find actors boring, when they're just sitting around lolling in their emotions, what they're doing, what we would call that is playing the emotion, not playing the objective.
Ah.
So sometimes I see this in rehearsal all the time, where a really good actor could happen with the very best actors or the inexperienced actors. It obviously tends to happen more with the inexperienced, where they'll come in and it'll be an emotional scene. Husband will have just left them in the scene, and they'll be sitting there crying and feeling sorry for themselves. They'll be bathing in their own emotion. And in the audience, we're thinking, shut up already. You know, I don't want to see that. It's not because we don't feel those emotions. We do. We all do. But on the stage, at least, without commenting on life, the actor has to make a choice what he or she wants, not what emotion he or she is trying to convey.
That's so interesting.
You have to do something, or otherwise it gets really boring and pathetic very quickly.
You know how some actors, though, seem so sincere in their acting, the natural quality they have. I'm thinking about Alan Alda.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of, even when he's being complicated in his role, it seems so simple.
Yes.
What, he doesn't seem like he's after something. Well, if you told me Meryl Streep was after something, she's so complex to me that I could say, oh yeah, I could buy that. Beyond imagining believable, you know, Alan Alda, I believe him, but he just seems so uncomplicated.
Well, but
he sounds like he's being sincere all the time.
But that doesn't mean, because you want something doesn't mean it's cynical. He may want, as Hawkeye in MASH,
or in a Woody Allen movie, either.
Or in a Woody Allen. Well, in the, you know, well, let's, if we can pick one moment. Alda is a very natural actor. I agree. He's got a very natural, easy way. That's why he's been so successful for so long, and so many people love him. But you know, he's, you know, in some of the Woody Allen movies, he plays a kind of a prig. And so what he – let's just say he's natural, but what he wants – I can't even remember a specific scene. What he wants is to make sure he places himself above people. So he's talking, placing himself above. Or as Hawkeye Pierce in MASH, he was either trying to bed a woman or outsmart – you know, whatever the guy, you know, somebody. So his intentions were very, very simple. He had a beautifully natural way about it. But it's not that when you say everybody wants something, it's not Machiavellian. It's just life.
Hmm. Okay. So another person, Tom Hanks, comes to mind as sort of a nice guy kind of vibe.
Uh-huh.
Although I'd be interesting to see him be somebody really awful.
Uh-huh.
That would be interesting. Uh-huh. Although probably no one would cast him.
He's done it once or twice, and I don't think it worked so well.
Uh-huh. That's probably because,
his natural likability. I mean, that's casting. Some actors have so much natural information about them that it's very hard to cast against who they are. I mean, a lot of actors can do all kinds of different things. I mean, Jason Robards, who was a wonderful actor, could do all kinds of different things. I'm trying to think of a present movie star right now who can, you know, who can play a villain and a hero. But Tom Hanks is also so beloved.
Liev Schreiber.
Liev? Yeah, Liev.
Liev Schreiber. So he could probably be a hero or a villain.
Absolutely can. That's because his basic nature, and that's captured on this TV show Ray Donovan that he's doing right now, in which
so good,
yeah, you know, that's he's sort of hero villain, he's sort of both.
Can I? This is off the track, but can I say you want to see an acting performance? I almost fell on the floor.
Yeah,
John Voight.
Oh, he's fantastic.
And Donovan, he's being so scary.
Yeah,
and his character that he's, I'm just floored.
He's fantastic.
By it. Oh, okay, so let's come back to the basics of our lesson, our acting lessons. Mm-hmm. You told me intention, what do I want from you in the role? Now, there's another way to go. So you were saying to me.
Oh, yes, of course. So, it's not that it's another way to go. That's the first step. What do you want? The next question is, what's in the way of me getting what I want? And then,
am I making that up? What's in the way? Or is there really something always in the way?
There's always something. I mean, if Romeo says to Juliet, will you marry me? And Juliet says, sure. And then the Capulets and the Montagues say, hey, great, let's throw a party. It's over in 10 minutes. There's no story. So all great stories have obstacles. And I would argue that even in this situation, the obstacle is the fact. So if you want to good example. You said you wanted to connect with me as your objective. That's a great objective. What's the obstacle? Okay, we're sitting here with microphones and headphones. This is a natural situation for you. You're here all the time, but it's not like meeting over a cup of coffee. Maybe it is for you. It's not quite for me. It's not, you know.
Yeah.
So there's the obstacle is the lamps and the control room. Being live, work exactly like that. That's a very good obstacle.
Could say something.
That's right. So we have to be careful. So we're thinking about what we're saying a little bit more than we would if we were down the block having a cup of coffee together.
Possibly editing in
your head.
That's
right, exactly. So those are obstacles. If you play the obstacle, if all I'm thinking about is the obstacle, we won't achieve our objective. Will fail. And also, it won't be interesting on the stage. Now, this is in our real. So, on the stage, for example, I'll use an example. Some of your listeners some of your listeners know this play, some may not. The play The Glass Menagerie by Tennessee Williams, one of the great plays. I directed it at Long Wharf a few years ago, and it went on to the Roundabout. Right now, there's a much lauded production in New York starring Cheri Jones. He was fantastic.
Boy. Oh, my gosh. I should have put her name on the list.
Yeah, she's amazing. Great. Yeah, she is great. So the young woman in the play, Laura, has a very significant obstacle. She's a cripple. She's very shy and she's a cripple. What she wants is to find a husband. Her obstacle is her shyness and her physical incapacity. The trap in that role, the mistake the actor would make, and every actor who struggles with that role makes it at some point in rehearsal, is to play the obstacle, because her shyness and her physical incapacity is such a powerful thing, palpable and powerful. When the actor focuses too much on that, all they're going to do is play the obstacle, and it won't be interesting. The actor has to play their objective, what they want, their positive side. They want a husband. The shyness and the physical, and the crippledness is the obstacle. It's what's trying. It's what's in the way of getting what she wants. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're saying that the actors are focusing on the physical disability instead of that's almost invisible in this part.
Well, it shouldn't be invisible, but it can't be the subject of the part. The subject is we're moved by Laura because we watch her want something. we watch her trying to transcend her circumstances. Similarly, in life, we don't like – no one likes people who feel sorry for themselves despite their circumstances, no matter how poor or broken somebody is. The people that complain about their personal problems all the time are people we don't want to spend time with. We like to be around people who try to triumph over their circumstances. Similarly, on the stage, we want to see characters choose to – they may fail, and it – as often as not on the stage, just like in life. We fail to triumph over our circumstances, but the story of life and the story of drama tends to be the attempt to do so.
So if you, in directing any of us in this part, you'd be saying, you're saying every actor at some point in rehearsal falls into this.
Absolutely.
Wow. I you know, even the great ones, you're saying.
Of course. I mean, I have had the great good fortune to work with some of the most spectacular actors in the business.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, they may be more gifted than others. They still struggle with the same problems that every other actor does. They don't walk in doing it perfectly. And in fact, you know, we could sit here and criticize some famous actors' performances for falling into some of those traps sometimes.
Gordon Edelstein is here from Longworth Theater giving us acting lessons. Really fun. We're going to open the phones to you, get some advice, 203-776-9677, or talk about amazing performances that you've seen. 203-776-9677. We'll be right back. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR, FaithWNPR, or join the conversation with us on Facebook. Search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to you for listening and to our talented team, senior producer Lori Mack and producer Jonathan McNichol. I feel like a very lucky person right now being in this room, and I hope that you're having a good time listening. Gordon Edelstein is here, artistic director of Longworth Theater, and he just dashed out of rehearsal. He's in the process of putting together. He's directing The Underpants, adapted by Steve Martin, and that starts performances October 16th and runs through part of November. That's at longwharf.org. Athol Fugard's play is going to have a world premiere at Longworth. Unbelievable, that score, I have to say. Congratulations.
And Athol's going to appear in it. Athol is going to star in his own play.
Wow.
First time he's been on the stage in about 15 years. He was an actor also.
Really? So is this the one where he's – is it – what's the theme of this?
It's about a grandfather and a grandson. And
what's important to know?
What's important to know? What are the key things in life that you should know? And Athol's in his early 80s, and God willing, he'll be with us for another 15, 18 years writing, but he knows he may not. And so he writes what he wants to write.
Mm. Do you think that that having been a playwright will inform his acting?
Yeah. But Athol, yes, very much so. But Athol was an actor and a writer throughout his career. He's had a 50-year career, and I think he acted in his first plays in South Africa. So he's always acted in his own material. The last 10 or 15 years, he hasn't done so. And I begged him. He sent me this play, and I read it, and I said, Athol, this is beautiful, but there's only one person who can be in it. And he said, who, Sam Waterston? It's a true story. I said, no, you dummy. You.
And did he agree right away?
He said, let me think about it. And then he said, of course.
Well, will he, because he knows acting so well, will he struggle with, because he is in this position in his own life?
He will. I don't know what the struggles will be for him. You know, Athol is, you know, kind of a genius, brilliant. He's a great raconteur, so he's a bit of a ham. So I bet I'm going to have to work with him to be not hammy.
In the other direction.
Yeah, he's a very he's a performer in life. And he's not a kind of, he's got his introspective side, of course, but in public, he gets kind of hammy. So, like so many of us too, so I anticipate having to, all right, Ethel, cut it by 50%.
Turn on the dial. 203-776-9677. If you have a question about acting, you want to talk about an amazing performance you have seen, artistic director Gordon Edelstein is here. Have you been trying to be an actor? We know what that struggle is like. Gordon, what about, I think there are probably a lot of people listening right now who could be saying what I would say about myself. I can certainly perform. And at the same time, I have a shy streak. And I gather that this is true of a lot of actors. How do they do it?
I think that's really smart and really right. It's a funny conundrum with actors, in my experience. So many actors are actually inhibited people, self-conscious people. And kind of in an act of counterphobia, they perform. Judy Garland used to say that the only time she was ever comfortable was when she was on the stage, because on the stage she wasn't thinking about herself. You know,
wow.
Actors, people who are self-conscious, who are focused on themselves, the only way they can get out of themselves is to be somebody else or to perform. You're a performer and I'm a performer in a way too, but I speak in public a lot. I have to for Long Wharf, and I've grown to be. I'm not naturally comfortable at it, but I've grown to be comfortable at it, but only with my own words. I'm not comfortable reading somebody else's words. It's one of the reasons I'm just not a – I'm a terrible actor. I joke that I'm the world's – I get the award for the world's worst actor every year, and I am.
Second worst.
I don't know. I'll fight you for that. But I can't surrender to the other person that I'm supposed to be. I can do it from an intellectual point of view as I'm analyzing the script, and I can even act out a moment for an actor to demonstrate what I mean, but only for 5 seconds at a time.
Yeah. These book readers, you know, the ones who read novels on audiobooks, the ones who are award-winning are amazing. You think, oh, how do they understand how to do this? You know, it's just amazing. So, Jim, Faith Middleton with Gordon Edelstein. We're doing acting lessons on the show today. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, thank you. I'd like to know his opinion on something that's been really bugging me. Do you remember if it's true when Katharine Hepburn said that she didn't prefer Meryl Streep's acting because she could see the wheels turning or something to that effect?
I don't recall that Hepburn ever saying that. I can imagine sometimes these stories are apocryphal, but in their apocryphal nature, there can be truth in it. And, you know, Hepburn, I don't know if it's true, but let's imagine for a moment it's true what she might have been saying by that. Let's unpack that, what she might have been saying. Katharine Hepburn is a style of actor from a different era where they were kind of themselves, where she sort of played herself. I love Katharine Hepburn and I love Meryl Streep. They're both incomparable geniuses, really. In my opinion, I'm choosing my word carefully, and I think I mean it in both cases. Katharine Hepburn, you know, more or less always played this character that she created. It probably was different than the real Katharine Hepburn, but she had this character, much like her often counterpart Spencer Tracy. But it's a very different style of acting than Streep. Streep, in some ways, is a character actor. Funnily enough, she's transformative. And some people criticize Streep, and I don't feel this way, but some people criticize Streep for being able to watch her work. I think she's dazzling beyond compare.
I find that so – I mean, I just find that amazing. Thank you so much, Jim, by the way. That was a very interesting question. I find – I do not see that in her at all. I was going to get to this. In novels, we have to believe the writer for this novel to work. I have to believe in the character and the voice, everything. Belief is essential. And I'm beginning to think that this is true in acting, because I have seen wheels turn. I would never say I've seen that in Meryl Streep's case. For me, I believe her with my whole soul, you know, every part of my being. So Well, except for the part where her husband doesn't want to make love to her when he comes home at night. I thought, really?
Well, that's just bad casting.
Who would do that? Why would you ever choose Meryl Streep for that role?
Right.
You know what I mean?
That may be just, you know, you can't always blame an actor.
That is ridiculous.
And here's the truth about Meryl Streep right now is, and this is a comment about the American movies, is that unfortunately for you get to, you know, I'm sure she's not hiding her age. She's in her early 60s. I'm sure she's closer to her middle 60s now. I don't know exactly. There aren't that many parts for women. There are not that many parts for women over 45. Look at the careers of some of our best actors, Sarandon, or Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
So many fantastic actors. There's no roles.
I'd be stuffing her into every imaginable role that I could stuff her into.
Well, write things for her. You know, they write things for her. But, you know, there aren't that many roles for people on the stage at that point. You know, there's just not that many parts. Men, obviously, they write more roles for her.
Yeah. There are some actors who are pressure cookers, I call them. They feel explosive with talent.
Right.
She's one of those people for me.
Right.
You know, it's just like I feel like she's just going to – her cells are going to explode. Brad Faith Middleton with Gordon Edelstein of Longworth Theater. The Underpants opens on October 16th, and you can see their whole schedule at longworth.org. Go ahead, Brad.
Yes, Gordon. I'm just wondering if you ever coach or direct an actor's body movement, or would that be encouraging them to play the body rather than play the objective?
Brad, great question.
It's a great question, Brad. Occasionally, once in a while, I will suggest a bit of physical business for an actor, and I will talk about their physical life. We call it their physical life. For example, I'm doing a show. This Underpants has got a high comedy, silly comedy, mixing a very Steve Martin, mixing his silliest side and his smartest side all in one. And one of the characters, the husband, is a kind of fascist. He's a nasty, controlling guy. And the wonderful actor Jeff McCarthy, who's playing it, and Jeff is the opposite of this, the sweetest man on the planet. So Jeff and I have been working with how to get his physical life tighter and more constricted and more fascistic. So, you know, without being obvious. So I don't give him a physical movement, but we will talk about the nature of the actor, his nature. And, you know, sometimes you say this guy's, you know, this character's like a cat, or it's like a dog, or like a, you know, a gorilla, or like whatever. Sometimes you use animal imagery. And sometimes that suggests for an actor a kind of physical life.
So would you say to him, overdo it? Because when you think you're overdoing it, it's going to come off as the normal amount of fascistic body movement.
It would depend on the actor. There's no general rule. Some actors need to be coaxed.
No, with him. With Jeff, nice guy. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say Jeff is such a skilled actor. Mm-hmm. I didn't have no. Jeff knows.
So he's nuanced.
Yeah. I wouldn't have to do that with him, but with another actor, I might.
Yeah. So 203-776-WNPR here on the Faith Middleton Show, acting lessons from Gordon Edelstein at Longworth Theater. I am quicker to believe actors in a movie than I am on stage in the theater. Now, it isn't that I have lost all time in amazing theater performance, you know, things. I mean, I have just been in some place, I don't even know where I was. It was so mind-bogglingly amazing. So I don't mean, but it's the truth. I don't, what is that? I can see actors shuffling around to their places sometimes in a way where I think, oh, I'm not in this.
Well, there's nothing worse than bad theater. It's insufferable. You want to blow your brains out. You know, a bad movie or a second-rate movie, you can sort of get through because, you know, the people are pretty.
Because a room is really a room?
Well, but it's photographic. People are, you know, everybody's usually pretty good looking. You know, there's a physical, there's visual distraction. There's also change. There's a new shot every 5 or 10 seconds. There's enough visual variety. A bad play
more
that's
sex.
Sitting there. There's often more sex. I don't know. I know exactly what you're saying, and I feel the same way. I think theater is acting is much harder than movie acting. I mean, obviously the great movie actors are as great as the great theater actors, and many of them are the same. I mean, Streep is a great movie actor and a great stage actor. Olivier, I mean, the same, although Olivier actually distinguished himself probably more on the stage. I mean, the examples are many. Pacino is great at both, or at his height was great at both. But, you know, I think it's harder. I think stage acting's harder.
You know what we haven't talked about yet in our acting lessons? Playing off each other.
Listening and responding.
Listening and responding. You asked me to be, I was in that production you did of The Front Page.
That's right.
And I think I was I the mother-in-law? I think
you
I
was
the
mother-in-law. You were hilarious.
I was not. I was awful at it because I couldn't understand the thing about, I couldn't make sense of her character. But anyway, you're so kind. He's kind. So here's the thing. I get up there and the actor you have me playing opposite is a real stage actor. And we're doing rehearsals and it's all fine. Then the real performance happens and he says his line to me. I thought I was frozen in my place. It was so powerful. Yeah. He'd been hiding in rehearsal. Yeah. And then he hits me with this thing. I couldn't even speak. I was looking. I was in his force field. So what about that? What
it's
do you want us to do?
It's one of the hardest things. It's, you know, look, it's hard in life to listen. We spend half of our life actually not really listening to what's being said to us. So that's one – that's a good metaphor for the theater. And, I mean, you're a great listener, Faith, because you have to – you know, you are naturally a great listener and you need to be for this in this job. You know, on stage, one of the hardest things is to really listen to what's being said to you, especially if it's being said – over and over and over again, 8 times a week in performance and in rehearsal. And you have to respond as if you've never heard that line before. Mm. And you can tell them.
It fresh? How do you do
that? Well, that's an actor's talent. But you can watch it a mile away. And that's actually a pet peeve of mine. I detest acting in which they're – what's called anticipating, when you're anticipating what the next person is going to say before they say it. You can see it a mile away. The most exciting actors, the most on stage, in movies it's not real because it's all cutting, but on stage the most exciting of the actors is the actors when you don't know what they're going to do next. And you don't know what they're going to do next because they're totally in the moment. They're truly listening and they are responding. Now they've rehearsed their response. They rehearsed their response. They've investigated what the response should be. But in the moment, they're not thinking about their response. They're really listening.
If you want to see what you're talking about unfolding in the most hilarious way, go to Showtime and check out Web Therapy.
Really?
With Lisa Kudrow. It's all improvised in that Larry David kind of way.
Uh-huh.
Like Curb Your Enthusiasm. You have a few plot points and the rest, you don't know what's going to happen every single second. And Meryl Streep, Lily Tomlin, everybody's playing opposite her. And she just does her nutty thing she says. And she's a fake therapist on the internet.
What's the name of it again?
Web Therapy.
Oh, I got it.
On Showtime. It's one of the best things on television. Hilarious. You have been – do we have time? How many – yeah? Okay, Karen, Faith Middleton, welcome to the show. I was going to give you a compliment.
Hi, thank you very much. I actually am an ex-theater major. I went to Vassar, and I had the joy of wearing one of Meryl Streep's costumes.
Oh, hey, Karen, Karen, you have to wind it up in 30 seconds because we have about a minute to go.
Okay, you were talking about the best performances we ever had seen. Mm-hmm. At the Boston ART, at one point I saw a performance of Hamlet, and I thought I had seen it all, but in this interpretation, it came across that Ophelia had actually been raped by the king.
Mm.
And it came across in one line where she was handing out flowers, and she gave the king rue, and she gave it to herself also.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, wow. Thank you so much, Karen. Thank you. Gordon Edelstein, just fantastic. It's a privilege.
Thank you, Faith,
always.
So much. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. Pleasure. Gordon Edelstein, Artistic Director of Longworth Theater. Go to longworth.org to see their schedule. And don't forget, The Underpants, adapted by Steve Martin, starts October 16th. As always, this show is about the richness of life. Find the books, people, recipes, wine, and cocktails we feature online anytime at wnpr.org. Click on Programs in New Haven. I'm Faith Middleton.